Well, it is good to have each one of you here with us this morning, and I definitely feel like the Lord has laid a word on my heart for our service today, and I ask that you would just turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And begin with the first verse. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Second Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, in the midst of the congregation and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, in the temple, before the new court. And this is his prayer, and he says, O God, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all of the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave it to thy seed, the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt there in that land." He said, your people, the seed of Abraham, they have dwelt therein, and they have built thee a sanctuary or a temple therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house or this temple in thy presence, for your name is in this house. And we cry unto you in our affliction, then thou wilt hear us and help us. Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them, and they destroyed them not. He said, behold, I say, how they reward us. We left them alone, and now just check out how they reward us. To come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but he said, our eyes are upon thee. And all of the children of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. God's Spirit began to move upon Jehazel. And he speaks by inspiration of God, and he says in verse number 15, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Everybody say, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right there. We'll cease reading, and I just want to pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the divine presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed in this place. As we have worshiped and as we have give you thanks, we give you praise for your presence. And now, Lord, we come to the reading of this word, and I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch my mind and touch my lips and touch my spirit to be able to be an effective minister of the word of God. I would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would direct my speech, that you would let it come forth with clarity, simplicity, and under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to hear and to receive. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will divinely break every yoke of bondage in this place this morning. That you will let us recognize that it is not by our might or it is not by our power, but that it is by the Spirit of the living God that the chains are broken. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be accomplished, that Christ will be glorified, that the people of God will be edified through the word that is ministered here this morning. Bless me now to be a blessing. Enable me now to be effective. And we will forever give you the praise, forever give you the thanks. And we ask it in the wonderful and the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to title my message this morning, The Power of a Shout of Praise. The Power of a Shout of Praise. My message this morning is not a new revelation. But I will tell you this morning that I feel with all of my heart that as I prepared for this service, the Spirit of the Lord would have me to remind you that there is power in our praise. Power is released when we worship and praise our God. And this story that is before us this morning is a prime example of God moving and God's Spirit bringing about miracles by the simple praise of his people. So let me just go to our text this morning and tell you that faced with the greatest crisis of his life, King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, amen, and his entire kingdom seem as though that they are faced with an impossible situation. Seem as though they are faced with a situation that is overwhelming and a situation that is much more than what they could handle. The Bible tells us in these chapters, or in this chapter, the 20th chapter, that they were invaded by three Confederate armies or three Confederate nations. Three nations had come together in unity for one purpose, and that was the purpose of destroying the nation or the kingdom of Judah. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir, the children of Mount Seir, they had all come together and they had joined their forces and they were bent on the destruction of God's people. Faced with an impossible situation and faced with a crisis, Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, amen, he feared for what was coming. And just stop and think about it for a moment. It wasn't just the king that was in jeopardy, but it was everybody in the kingdom. Men, women, children, everybody's lives were in jeopardy. They faced a very serious threat bearing down upon them. Three Confederate armies that had come together, joined forces, and they're all coming for one purpose, and that is the destruction of the children of Judah. They're outnumbered. They are about to be destroyed. They are about to be annihilated. They face a situation and a circumstance that is too large for them. Let me just ask you something this morning. How many of you here this morning have ever faced a circumstance or a situation that was greater than what, amen, you yourself could handle? Maybe it was bills, maybe it was a health issue, maybe whatever the case may be. But I bet a buck this morning that you have come up against something in your life that you didn't have the answer for, and you saw an impossibility while God saw a possibility. It seems that they are outnumbered. They are helpless. They are hopeless. There is no recourse. They don't have enough people to fight all of these nations that are coming against them. They don't have enough people to rise up and protect themselves. And now the lives of men and women and children are all in jeopardy. The temple that had been built is in jeopardy of being overthrown. It's in jeopardy of being torn down. Their way of life, their existence, all in jeopardy. Amen. All in jeopardy. And the first thing that I would want to point out to you this morning in our text is verse number 3. The first portion of that text says that Jehoshaphat feared. Now, how many of you know when you face an impossible situation that that is a very natural reaction? Right? That is a very natural reaction. Jehoshaphat's first inclination was he was afraid. Fear gripped his heart. He was afraid of what was coming. He was afraid that he was unable to handle the situation. He was afraid. How many of you know that is a natural response to an overwhelming situation or circumstance? But I came to tell you this morning that if we do not learn to control our fear will control us. Now let me tell you what the Bible says about fear. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I know the first inclination that we might have in the natural when we get a bad report is to let fear grip our heart. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't control the fear will control you. God said that he did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So rise up, amen, and be strong in the Lord and be not afraid. Psalms chapter 27 verse number 1 said, "The Lord is my light." He's not just my light, he's your light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And the psalmist said, "Whom shall I fear?" Amen. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. If you have the Lord on your side, there is no boogeyman that's bigger than God. If you have the Lord on your side, then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you have the Lord on your side, the Bible said that they that be with you are more than be with them. If you got the Lord on your side, the Bible said that no weapon that is formed against you will be able to prosper. Didn't say it wouldn't be formed against you. It just said it wouldn't prosper. Amen. Don't allow fear to grip your spirit. Don't allow fear to grip your heart. The Bible said in Isaiah 41:10, God says, "Fear thou not." Why? Because I am with thee. Amen. Be not dismayed, he said, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Bible says when it comes to fear, in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13, God says, "Child of God, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you this day." Just don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to grip your spirit. Don't allow fear to grip your heart. I have learned over the years that when we face an overwhelming situation, natural response is fear. And fear will do one of two things. It will cause you to withdraw and retract, or it will drive you to your knees in prayer. It will cause you to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat's initial reaction was to fear. His initial reaction was to fear what was coming, but thank God that fear drove him to his knees in prayer. Amen. I'm telling you here this morning, amen, when you face an overwhelming circumstance or an overwhelming situation in your life, fear may rise up in your spirit, but do not give place to that fear. Brother, let that fear, instead of causing you to withdraw and retract, amen, from God, let it drive you to God, because God is the only one that has the answer. Jehoshaphat begins to take steps that I want to talk to you about this morning that brings about his victory in overcoming the obstacle and the circumstance that was before them. Amen. Jehoshaphat, he knew he did not have the answer. He knew that he was outnumbered. He knew that he was helpless. He knew that he needed some divine intervention. And that recognition drove him to his knees and he began to pray. And I tell you this morning, allow your circumstance not to drive you away from God, but allow your circumstance to turn to God. Allow your circumstance to drive you to the Lord. Amen. Because God is the only one with the answer. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, God says, "Call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not." Do you remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7? He says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." For everyone that asketh, not just someone, not just a particular few, but everyone that asks. That means me. That means you. Everyone that asks, amen, shall receive. Everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. Everyone, amen, that seeks after the Lord, he said, they shall find it. Amen. Allow your circumstance to drive you to the Lord. I love Psalms 50 and 15. This is not the first time that I have shared it with you, and I've encouraged you before. If you haven't written it in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible. Psalms 50 and 15. This is what it says. "Call unto me." This is God talking. Amen. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me." Now I'm going to tell you this morning, that are not the feeble words of a man that say, "Hey, if you get in trouble, give me a call." But that's the word of an almighty God that has all power in heaven and earth. And when you get in trouble, he said, "You can call upon me and I'll answer you. I'll deliver you and you'll give glory and praise to me." Believe it, receive it, and walk in it this morning. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat begins to pray, and I love the prayer that he prayed. It's part of our text. We read it. Let me read it to you again if you still have your Bible open this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with the 5th verse. This is Jehoshaphat's prayer. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, meaning in the temple, in the new court. And this is what he said. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? One of the reasons that I love this prayer of Jehoshaphat is because everything he prays has a predetermined answer. Everything he prays has a predetermined answer. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? How many of you know God had to go? Yep, that's me. And then he said, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And again, God had to say, well, that's true. Ain't nobody here beside me. Ain't no greater power than me. And then he says, and in thine hand is there not power and might so that nobody is withable to stand you? God had to say, yeah, that's true. It's a fact. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, art not thou our God? God had to say, yep, I am your covenant God. I made a covenant with your forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Amen. And I ain't changed it and I ain't taking it back. I am your God. And then he said, didn't you drive out the inhabitants of this land before us, your people Israel, and give this place to Abraham's seed forever? God said, yeah, I remember that. I did promise that to Abraham, didn't I? It's true. I said that. And then Jehoshaphat continues and he says, and the people, they built therein and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. In other words, he was saying, and we built you a temple in this land. You remember when David wanted to build a temple and God said, no, David, you can't do it because you got blood on your hands, but I will let your son, Solomon, build a temple. Solomon built a beautiful, awesome temple for God in the land of Israel. Jehoshaphat is reminding God of that temple. He said, Lord, you remember that temple that we built when we got in this land and we started enjoying the promised land that you give us? We built you a sanctuary and we built you a temple in this land. Amen. Do you remember? And you said you were going to put your name in that place. And then he says, and we built you a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, I don't know if every translation says saying, but the King James says saying, and when he says that word saying, he is saying a whole lot. And let me just explain to you what he's fixing to say. He says, we built a temple. We built that temple saying, if when evil comes upon us, as with the sword and judgment or pestilence or famine, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, because your name is in this house, and we cry out unto you in our affliction, you said you would hear and you would help. Now that one little word, saying, is a history lesson. You'll find the history lesson in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Let me just tell you what happened. The Bible says that King Solomon, because Jehoshaphat is reminding God of what he promised to King Solomon. The Bible said that Solomon had finished building the temple and they were dedicating the temple. And you will find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7. The Bible says that Solomon, before all of the people, knelt down before God and he lifted up his hands. And this was his prayer. He said, now God, you promised my father David that we could build this place and that you would inhabit it. And we have built it by your grace and by your power. Now, I ask that you would place your spirit in this temple. put your name here in this place. And Lord, Solomon goes on, he says, if there ever comes a time when the people of God turn their back upon you and we walk away from you and we, amen, and we sin against you, and then we recognize the error of our way and we turn and we pray toward this house, this temple. I'm asking you right now, God, if there ever comes a time when there are pestilence or famine, or if the rain ceases to fall, whatever the case may be, if there's an invading army, whatever the situation, and we turn and pray toward this place, that you will hear from heaven and that you will deliver us from our adversary. Jehoshaphat is reminding God of Solomon's prayer. And he said, God, you said that you would hear and that you would help. That you would hear and that you would help. And then he goes on and he says, now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and the children of Mount Seir, all three of these nations, whom thou wouldest let, would not let Israel invade. In other words, he's saying, and by the way, you wouldn't let us invade them when we came up out of Egypt. If we would have invaded them when we came up out of Egypt a long time ago, they would still be in the rebuilding process instead of thinking they could come and cast us out of our inheritance. So by the way, God, just saying, you wouldn't let us wipe them out then. How about now? Hello? He said, behold, I say, how they reward us. They have come to cast us out of your gift to us, thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. And then he stops and says, now, Lord, it doesn't sound to me like they have a very good case. Wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not do the right thing? Wilt thou not judge them? He begins to remind God that they are his covenant people. He begins to remind God, telling them that they have no strength and that they have no might. Amen. He says, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, and neither know we what to do. You ever got to a place where you just didn't know what to do? He said, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. Amen. And then the Bible says, and you can read it in the 12th verse or the 13th verse. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite. Say that really fast three times. A Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. God began to move upon his people. They have prayed and now they're waiting quietly. And the spirit of prophecy comes upon Jehazel. And he says to the people, hearken ye all of Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God, be not afraid, be not dismayed for reason of this great multitude, for the battle does not belong to you, but it is God's. Why is it God's? Because God had already promised Solomon, when Solomon prayed, that he would hear and that he would help. Amen. Solomon had already received a word from God that when they turned toward that house, that God would hear and that God would help. In other words, God said, this battle is not yours because you're standing on my word and I will defend my word. Amen. I will defend my word. So he says to them, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. And then he says in verse 17, ye shall not need, there is no need for you to fight this battle. You don't have any reason to fight this battle. Set yourselves set yourselves. What does that mean? He said, find you a comfortable spot under a shade tree with a jug of tea. Set yourselves. No, that's a loose white translation. I'm enlarging the text. But what he was saying was, you aren't going to fight. Kick back, relax, take it easy, and just watch what I do. Just check out what I do. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Be not dismayed, fear not. Amen. But tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Words of prophecy come forth. And Jehoshaphat, the Bible says, In verse number 18, he bowed his head and his face toward the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and began to worship. Now, I just want to point out to you this morning the steps that Jehoshaphat took to bring us to this point of deliverance that's about to happen. Amen. He prayed earnestly, and then he believed God, because when the word of prophecy came forth, he worshiped. He bowed himself before the Lord and said, thank God I didn't have an answer, but thank God he's undertaken my cause, and everything is going to be all right. He believed the Lord. And so the Bible tells us that the next morning that they set out to go and set themselves and to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and see what God would do. And this is what Jehoshaphat does. He gathers them all together before they march out to face the enemy. And this is what he said in verse number 20. He said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. How many of you know you have to believe his word before you can see his word come to pass in your life? Amen. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Said, believe the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And then he sets up his battle plan. From a natural standpoint, it seems as though that it is the most flawed battle plan ever put together by man. Jehoshaphat says, this is what I want to do. I want to put the choir right out front. And that way they encounter the enemy first. What are we going to do? Sing them to death? Hello? I mean, contrary to wisdom, if you were going out against an enemy that were stronger and mightier than what you are, you would want the greatest and the most elite fighting forces right up front, would you not? You would want the big guns, the battering rams, the G.I. Joe guys right out front. Jehoshaphat says, no, here's what we're going to do. Why did he do this, number one? Because he believed God. He said, I want to put the best singers right out in front. And we're going to march toward the enemy. What do you mean we're going to march toward the enemy? Just singing? That's it? We're just going to march toward the enemy and sing? Yes. Okay, I'm your Huckleberry. What are we going to sing? Short chorus. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's it. Any verses? No, just keep repeating the chorus. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And I want you to march right toward the enemy, and I want you to march right toward the camp of the adversary and those that outnumber us, and I want you to just march toward the enemy doing nothing but praising God. And I can just see some of them, probably like today, some of them believed and some of them thought that Jehoshaphat had lost his mind. Right? Some of them really sang, "Praise the Lord." Some of them were like, "Praise the Lord. I hope this is over quick." Right? All right, you're in charge, so I'll march, but I don't know. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Hey, let me just tell you something right here. Our God's mercy endures forever. But I ain't been good enough for God to bless me. It ain't about you. It's about the goodness of God. It's about God's mercy. And his mercy endures forever. It's not about how wonderful we are. It's not about how good we can be. It's not about how faithful we've been. It's about how good he is. About how faithful he is. And about his mercy. And they start marching toward the enemy, singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." You know what? That's what we need to do when we face adversity and circumstance and situation. Number one, pray, believe the word of God, and then give God a praise. Amen. From the depths of our heart, knowing that the battle is not ours, but that the battle belongs unto God. And if we will just simply hang on to the hand of the Lord, it is he that will see us safely through. Hallelujah. And they're marching toward the enemy. I know we're outnumbered, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I know it looks impossible, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I know this looks really foolish, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. I know you got a bad report from the doctor, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. I know you might have a big stack of bills and you don't know how they're going to get paid, but praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I know we've been here almost 3 years in this building and we ain't got a building yet. Hey! But praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they're marching toward the enemy and they praise the Lord, that little group, that little band of worshipers. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And you know what it did? It bounced off of one mountain and reverberated across the canyon and picked up about 10,000 voices as it echoed across the canyon. And the Bible said, praise the Lord, amen, for his mercy endures. And it picked up another 10,000 voices. And before it was over with, the enemy thought they were outnumbered and they rose up against one another and they began to kill one another. The Bible said when they sang, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, that God began to move. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. And the children of Moab and the children of Ammon jumped up and they slew the children of Mount Seir. Didn't leave a one of them standing. And when that battle was over, they turned on each other. And they began to kill the Ammonites, began to kill the Moabites. The Moabites began to kill the Ammonites. And when God's little band of 20 come around the corner going, praise the Lord, everybody was dead. And their praise the Lord turned into praise the Lord. Look at this. Hey. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that there was not one of the enemy standing. No one escaped. They all perished right there. And all God's people did was sing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And the Bible said that they were 3 whole days gathering up the spoil, because the army, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the children of Mount Seir, they all had on jewels and precious ornaments, and there were weapons of war, and I mean, there was all kind of riches just laying on the dead folks right there. And they were 3 days collecting all the good stuff before they went home. All they did was show up and collect the good stuff. You know what that tells me? It tells me that when the enemy starts messing, that God has a blessing in store for those that are faithful, for those that will continue to just worship and hold on to the promise of God in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now let me just point out to you real quickly, and I'm going to hush. Let me just point out to you real quickly that that's not the first time in Scripture that praise brought the presence of God. Because you can look in Joshua chapter 6, and let me just remind you that it was not the battering rams that brought down the walls of Jericho. It was not military strength that brought down the walls of Jericho. What was it? It was the blast of a horn and the shout of praise among God's people. You hear what I'm talking about? Let me take you to the New Testament and find Paul and Silas sitting in jail in Acts chapter 16 with blood running down their back. They'd been beaten and falsely cast into prison, and there they are in prison with blood running down their backs, stocks and chains. And the Bible said at midnight they prayed, and at midnight they began to sing praise unto God. And at midnight God came down in that jailhouse and rocked the foundation of that jail and loosed their chains and set them free by the power of his own spirit, all because of their praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. There's a miracle in your mouth this morning. Amen. There's an earthquake in your mouth today. Just say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures. I know what I'm facing. I know what the situation looks like. I know it don't look good. I know it looks rough. I know it looks bad. I know I'm outnumbered. I know it looks like I'm going to fail, but I'm not going to fail, because the battle ain't mine. The battle belongs to God. Amen. I know it looks like we're about ready to fall under, but hey, I'm being held up by an almighty hand, and I know in whom I have believed, and I am he. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. And I know that I know that I know it shall be well, amen, with the child of God that believes and praises and worships and holds on to God. Hallelujah. I told my wife I was going to teach this morning. I move right from teaching into preaching. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Psalms 34:1. The psalmist knew the power of praise, knew the secret behind a shout of praise. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord. I will. Somebody said, well, Pastor Gary, I don't feel like praising. Praise has nothing to do with how we feel. That's simply emotion. I'm happy. Life is good. I feel like praising. Well, what do you do when life ain't so good? And things aren't so happy. David said, I will anyway. I will. It's an act of my will. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And can I just tell you, amen, when you're going through a tough spot, I learned a long time ago, if you fill your mouth with praise, your mouth will have no place for, bitter and gossip and all kinds of complaining. And I don't know why me, God. I don't know what you put this on me for. Amen. You hear what I'm talking? Amen. Fill your mouth with praise instead of all that negativity. David said, I will. It's an act of my will. I will bless the Lord. May not look like I got a reason to. May not look, amen, like I got a reason for it. Amen. But I'm going to praise him, not for the situation, but in spite of the situation. I'm going to praise him because he's God over the situation. And praise him that he's able to take me through the situation. I will bless the Lord. Psalms 91 or 92 verse number 1 said, it is a good thing. Amen. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto the name of the Most High God. Psalms 118 verse number 24 said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Amen. Psalms 150 in verse number 1 through verse number 6 said, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent goodness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and with the organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him, amen, upon the cymbals. Praise him upon the sounding cymbals. And then he closes out the verse or the chapter by saying, let everything that hath breath. Everybody take a deep breath this morning. You're a candidate to praise God. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Why is praise so powerful? Praise is powerful because when you look at all of the circumstances that are against you and you are willing to open your mouth and say, but I believe God. It just gives the devil a right hook. When you look at all of the problems coming against you and you are willing to open your mouth and say, this is a good day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Amen. Let me just tell you, sometimes you got to have a hallelujah anyhow. Hello? Amen. Sometimes you just got to have a hallelujah anyhow. I remember I learned really early, I shared this once before, but it's relevant for right now. I remember when I was just a young Christian, I came out of the entertainment industry. My desire was to be a country singer. And I left all of that after finding the Lord and giving my heart to Christ, and I came to the Lord Jesus and I began to feel the call of God to preach and to do something for the Lord. And I remember my brother and I, we hit the road singing gospel music. And we were in a 3/4-ton Chevy van, 1978 Chevy van. We had just left Klamath Falls. And we were on our way to Bend, Oregon. And we're headed up Highway 97, and that van, I don't know what was the matter with it, but that van, it was doing about 35, 40 miles an hour top end. We're pulling a trailer. And this thing sounds like a baler, you know. I mean, it is rattle, clang, bang. It sounds like something's fixing to come through the cowling of the inside of that van. And we didn't have any money. We didn't have no credit card. We didn't have nothing. We were just on a wing and a prayer. And we pulled into a little gas station in the Pine to get some fuel. And when we pulled into the gas station, the guy, you know, the attendant comes bounding out of the thing. And he says, "You want me to check under the hood?" And I looked at my brother and I said, "No, we already know there's something wrong under there." Right? Just not sure. So, you know, I mean, we did, of course. We looked it over. We didn't find anything. And we pulled back out on the highway. And I mean, this thing's just acting up something terrible. And I remember I said, I remember being like, "Oh my God, what are we going to do if this thing breaks down out here? You know, who are you going to call? What's the plan?" And I remember I said, "Well, praise the Lord anyhow." And it got quiet. The van quit clanging and rattling. And my brother was driving. He stepped on the gas, and we went to 45, 50, 55, 60. He goes, "Hey, I don't know what happened, but this thing's running like it's supposed to." We drove it all the way through Bend and home. My brother lived on Murray Street, just over there off of 4th at the time. Pulled it into the driveway, and it never ran again. We had to put a new motor in it. But a hallelujah anyhow got me from Lapine, Oregon, all the way home to Emmett, Idaho. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to have a hallelujah anyhow. Well, it ain't going like I don't want it. It ain't going like I think it ought to go. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. There's power in our praise. Power in our worship. Power when we speak confirming words that our faith is anchored in God. Amen. Confirming words that our faith is not in what we see, but in what we know. Amen. There is power in our praise. If I have one thing to leave you with this morning, it is when you leave this place and face your week, watch what you say. Watch what you say. Let it be words that are uplifting and words that praise God and words that edify the Lord. Because He is listening. Amen. And just who knows when God shakes it up and breaks it up and brings you through whatever you are troubled with, whatever situation. All because you kept the faith and had a praise on your lips. Amen. Bow your heads, please. I'm going to ask the musicians, come on back. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name, sweet Jesus. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the example of Jehoshaphat. Thank you that it is not by our might or our power, but it is by the power of your Holy Spirit. The battle does not belong to us. We just need to fight the good fight of faith and let you fight the enemy. The battle is not ours this morning, Lord. Help us to understand that. And help us to understand that if we are standing on your word and we are anchored in your promise, then we may look foolish to others, but our faith is anchored in your word. And we believe your report. We believe your word over our circumstances. And therefore we praise. Therefore we honor with our worship. Therefore we glorify you. Help us to understand the importance and the power of a praise upon the lips of the children of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here in this place this morning would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I haven't praised as I should, could. I've been dwelling on the problem. Yeah, God sees your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. Amen. Here's your chance this morning. Here's your chance this morning. Stand to your feet all over the building. Slip up your hands and say, Lord, Lord, I recognize the power of my praise. I honor you this morning with my worship. I honor you with my praise. I know it don't look good, but I believe the Lord. I know it don't look like we're going to make it, but I believe you, God, that you are God to pull me through. And therefore, I will praise you, and therefore, I will worship you, because the battle is not mine, but the battle belongs to God. And Lord, I give you thanks and I give you praise this morning. Amen. Go ahead and just worship him. Go ahead and play. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.